found this in Ganarum. Ganamir Ni.
What is it?
Well, it's
Sycophants.
Sithaholics, guys. This is your host, David Duncan. I've got with me Ashley and Jason from the Red Shirt Diaries today. Thank you guys so much for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Hello.
So you guys' most recent episode was the arena with the Gorn, right?
Yes.
That was a lot of fun. It looks like you were on location there.
We were. We live like half hour drive from Vasquez Rock, something like that. So when we knew we were going to come back for season two, it was always part of our plan to go and shoot at Vasquez Rocks, at Arena Rocks. And that is the first episode of TOS that I ever saw. So it was very near and dear to my heart that we got to go and shoot on location. I think Jason had less fun than I did.
What happened, Jason?
Well, it's hot and you're shooting on location. And shooting on location, the sun doesn't always want to work with you. And they're not as good as lights. And there's wind and there's sound and there's always double the amount of production on anything in the location.
And I sucked real bad that day, so there was also that.
Oh, no, it was awesome. I loved it when you got captured by the Gorn.
Well, that's because that was 18 takes later of Jason telling me to be better. We shot that a month after we wrapped our main production.
Arena was the last thing we shot for season two.
So I didn't realize that I had very much like let go of all the work and everything that I'd had in mind, and it took me a lot longer to get where I needed to get than it normally does. So,
oh, nice.
It made Jason's job as director much harder, unfairly. And when you're the actor, like it's so much easier because when you're done, like I'm basically, except for sending a few emails, my job is basically done when we wrap shooting, and Jason and our editors, Brian and Alex, are doing a lot more work to this very day and into the future to make sure that Retro Diaries keeps happening.
Oh, excellent. Because I actually heard about you guys through the Trek Geeks podcast, and I know they had you on right after the Star Trek Las Vegas this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you said you were very dependent on the numbers on this season to determine whether or not you guys were going to do a third season.
That is a true and scientific fact.
So how's it been going so far?
It's been going all right. It hasn't been going as good as we would have liked, but I guess you can always go for more views. I'm very proud of the episodes that we've done. I think we've gone in some new places and some new things, and I think season two is 200 times better than season one.
Easily.
it's interesting because I think some of our viewership from season one didn't come back.
Really?
Yeah.
Which is interesting because they paid for it. So.
Hey, whatever.
That's so weird that they didn't come back for season two. Because I would agree with you guys. Season two has been so much better.
Thank you.
Season two has just been it's been a slower burn than season one was, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. Because with season one, we had like consistent views. Like the views were all consistent.
Yeah.
So it was like, you know, each episode would get about this amount and we'd be like, cool. Whereas this season, it's very much like one episode will blow up to like 10,000 views and then like the next episode will not even cross 2,000 and we'll be like, well, what's the deal? Where did those other 8,000 people go?
Yeah, yeah. You know, and our episodes get shared by the same outlet pick it up every week. We do the same amount of advertising, and we have a lot of great guest stars that we're bringing in from week to week. So it's interesting that, I don't know, like Galileo 7 did like really well, and I didn't know that Galileo 7 was like a massively popular episode, but I guess so.
Oh, yeah. I love Galileo 7. It was actually on our first episode of Sithaholics. Aaron, he did like one of his top five. We both gave a top five, and Galileo 7 was in his top five. I loved your guys' take on it.
Thank you.
the numbers, you said the numbers aren't like exactly where you're liking. So are you guys good enough for maybe a season three going forward, or
we haven't decided
we're
yet.
We're not. We'll probably decide when we're like a good three quarters of the way through, because the episodes don't live and die by their first week. Like I said, like it's a much slower burn, and so by that point, so everyone has like another month to watch all the episodes 100 more times, and then I think that's when we'll be comfortable like making a decision right now. But I mean, there's a lot of really good stuff in the second season to mine, because that's really when TOS comes into its glory episodes. So it'd be cool.
Oh yeah, definitely. I've definitely been enjoying them a lot, and the arena one you sent to me when we were talking through Twitter was a lot of fun, and hearing the Gorn and the dialogue from Kirk and stuff from the original series coming through the communicator and everything was a lot of fun.
The Gorn voice is all Jason with the cold.
Oh really? I thought like maybe part of it was like derived.
No, the Gorn's me. I just say the same lines. but that's me.
It sounds awesome.
We use Kirk's audio from the episode, but the Gorn's me.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I had a severe cold when I recorded that too. So I think that might have helped.
I feel like it added to your characterization of the Gorn.
But it hurt.
I know exactly how that is. I had a really bad cold 2 years ago, and I used to work on a call center job, and it was a good excuse to get off the phone because I sounded like Batman from Christian Bale's Batman. So I don't think you want me talking to all the customers sounding like this.
I don't know. That'd be pretty great.
I'm Batman. How can I help you today?
How many pieces of wall siding do you want to buy?
How can I
support this charity?
How can I help you reset your password? Because that's the kind of calls I got. Just resetting your password over and over and over and over again. The Squire of Gothos was great. I actually just got to see that one the first time today. I rewatched all the episodes like back to back right before I came on.
You did? Okay, yes. So let me ask you a question.
Sure.
What is it like? What is the flow of season two? Because I've never watched them all like one after one after one after one. What do you feel, or what are your impressions of season two as we're 8 episodes into it?
I love like the budget on it. It looks like you guys like beefed it up a lot more than season one. Like the nice little exterior shots coming out from the exterior of the Enterprise going into her room.
Jason was in love with the idea of doing that shot for a long time. I'm so glad it worked out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I loved it too. Like I love it whenever that kind of shot comes together. And you'd think that you'd see it more often in Star Trek, but you really don't.
I know. Well, it's because like, I mean, here's the thing. Even at TOS, and I would say even all the way to Voyager, I think their window to quarters ratio is always completely off. I think in every
there's a lot of rooms with no windows.
But there's also a lot of episodes where they show rooms where everybody has a window, and then they show the exterior of the ship.
Oh, and there's like 6 windows.
And
on
there's
the
like
ship.
6 windows.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
there's
yeah.
There's not that many windows.
Oh no, especially in TOS. I mean, Next Generation sort of kind of worked because it seemed like there was like windows everywhere.
True. But even like the only ship that I think got away with it very well is Defiant, because I guess they were trying to go for like the cramped quarters, but. Like, you got to think about, like, if you were on one of those ships, you would have the quarters with no window more than you would have. Like, the officers would have the windows.
Yeah, yeah. Or like, the captain's the captain's ready room and stuff like that. Because even in Enterprise, like, Archer's got 2 sizable windows behind him.
And I almost think that every crew quarters they show on Enterprise has a window, which is weird.
It is, because it's a smaller ship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah,
they were like, we
is
can
tiny,
afford to
yeah.
do special effects now, so everyone gets a window.
We just redress the same set over and over again. It's got to have the same. They don't ever worry about covering up the windows. And also the funny thing, you can think about the windows and the Next Generation, the ship has got that such a slant to the saucer section. Everyone's quarters is in the upper half of the saucer section. You never see the windows on the ground where they would be on the on the underside.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, or everyone has a skylight. Like
We actually came close to, in the initial designs of Ensign Williams season 2 quarters, I wanted to put a window behind her too. So I wanted to say that like she was in one of the curved sections where she has like a window in front of her and a window behind her, and we were going to green screen it and have like the stars there.
Oh, that would be sweet.
But as we were building the set, it came down to the thing where, like, okay, we have 3 weeks till we have to shoot. It is probably going to take us a week to build this window, or do we want to just, like, finish the set now, haul it to location, and then we're done.
Well, we thought about it being a green screen, too, and that seemed like an awful lot of work.
Well, it sounded like an extra production element, especially, like, with lighting and stuff like that. We were like, oh, we'd have to make sure that that's perfectly lit all the time.
Yeah.
I remember that. We drew it on the set, and we were deciding if we were going to cut it out or not.
Well, yeah, it's on there, and then we decided against it. And then we decided against that space, that galaxy poster that we just put there.
That's right.
Because that's where it would have been, is right where that galaxy poster is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So long ago.
Yeah, because in season one you referenced the window was like to the right of her, and then in this the first or second episode you've got that fly in from the outside. So it's
she's
like
in
right
different
in
quarters
now.
Yeah.
I remember that. That's why how you said you're going to try to do the window behind her as well.
Well, we had to do the window for season one, and we had to address it because in Corbomite Maneuver we saw
the light come in.
Yeah, so we knew, like, right away we better establish that there's a window there, even if you can't see it.
Mm-hmm.
Or else someone is going to get on us about that by the time it came to episode 10, like people did about the uniforms, so.
Awesome.
Now, I have another question for you.
Sure.
You watched all episodes. This is going to be an interview where I just interview you about our show.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, I'm happy to help out any way I can.
Okay, so you watched all 8 in a row of season 2.
Yes.
There is an overarching narrative in this season, but we're not telling everybody what it is until the very... It won't make sense to you until the very, very end.
Until the second to last episode. Yeah.
What is your guess at what it is?
The overall story.
What's the overall story? It's there.
Or maybe who does it involve aside from Williams?
Don't give him any hints.
Well, I know Bones keeps on coming on a lot, coming up a lot, and then
well,
you seem to...
Larry Nemechek as Bones is coming.
Yes, that's going to be great. I can't wait to see him on the show because he's just great as Bones. And I actually asked him if he stole his uniform from the Star Trek Continues since he was in there for 2 episodes. Like, I didn't steal anything. I'm like, yeah, I didn't mean it that way, but you know, was you know the same one. So
well, Larry was one of those when he first met him when we did season one. When we started making season 2 and we started writing it, I really wanted to put Bones in it, and I was like, oh, man, but I wonder, can we convince Larry to play the part?
Yeah.
Because if we can convince Larry to play the part, we're going to put him on screen. We're going to let you see the face of Bones. Because we saw Bones in season 1, but we cut off his head so you couldn't see him.
Yeah, yeah.
And you will never see the face of Spock or Kirk, ever, in our series.
But I love that. I love it, like, in the Enemy Within, he just comes in and is like, your door was unlocked.
That was one of the first jokes we ever wrote for Kirk, and we actually did that all in one take, and it was just Jason running around changing shirts. It was awesome. It was so easy. I just got to sit there.
And that joke is coming back too.
That's awesome. I really enjoyed that episode. So am I warm with the Rand and or the Doctor thing?
I'm just going to give you a no.
Well, but he is featured in the most important episode.
Sure. I would say keep searching, sir. Keep searching.
Keep searching. I mean, now that I know there's a narrative, I'll go back and like maybe like try to watch them a lot more closely.
Mm-hmm.
To kind of like.
But again, like we planned it especially. So again, it'll be one of those things where the second to last episode, it'll make sense. You'll be like, oh, now I see it. But
like right now, it's just breadcrumbs.
Yeah, now it's like little, it's a little thing. It's very, very tiny things.
Oh, I'm excited to see how it comes together, and I'll definitely be paying a lot more closer attention when I go back and watch it now that there's like, oh, there's some secrets in here to glean.
We'll talk about it in January when we wrap.
So, like, is the post, like, a whole lot of work, it seems like? I mean, with the, you know, the CG effects and everything, like, how long does each episode take to complete?
Oh, it depends. Every episode's different. The one that's coming, episode 19, Tomorrow is Yesterday, took a lot longer than some of the other ones.
A lot of people in it, though.
Yeah, just because there's a lot of people. There's a lot of other audio clips in it. It depends. It depends on each episode. And to be honest with you, like, I'm editing these sequentially. So I don't really quite know until I hit on the episode. Like, Tomorrow, Yesterday, oh, man, like, took me a couple days here and there.
What's the one that you've done the quickest?
The one that I did the quickest is Return of the Archon, which I just finished because it was so easy.
But that was almost – that was one of the ones, much like Squire of Gothos, that we tried to do in as long of takes as possible for
in
that
long
reason.
Takes. Yeah, in long takes. Yeah, how many people are in the episode increases the episode. How many special effects are in the episode increases it. Like, I am right now not looking forward to Errand of Mercy. because Errand of Mercy, in our script, we have the Organians come onto the ship and talk to her. But not the Organians as their people bodies, the Organians as their energy form.
They're sparkle bodies.
Yes.
Sparkle guys.
So they're, the energy forms are going to talk to Ensign Williams. And I know, I'm already like, oh man,
well,
I am not
much,
looking forward to
how
that.
How much are you looking forward to Sitting on the Edge of Forever, which I think has the most cuts of any episode that we've just
I actually am really looking forward to that one because, like,
it's going to be cool.
Well, because I like the stuff. In Court Martial coming up, we have like a little montage where we cut ahead of time, and I like stuff like that. And our City on the Edge of Forever episode is kind of the same thing, mm-hmm. so I'm actually looking forward to that. Because that's for an editor, that's fun when you cut. Oh, there's a different costume, and what's the pacing like, and how do I get this tempo? But technical stuff like, how do I make a beam of light move frame by frame by frame by frame? That's where it gets annoying.
I can't imagine why that would be tedious.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah, that's going to be definitely fun. Are you going to touch on the City of the Edge of Forever? How come the guy vaporized himself and the phaser at the same time? Because I've always thought that was kind of funny.
No. Actually, no. But, City of the Edge of Forever was actually a tough one for us because we didn't know what to do with it quite, because we were like, okay, she can't be down on the planet.
Because we really don't want to shoehorn Williams into hanging out with Kirk and Spock and McCoy, because that didn't happen in the episode.
Yeah, we have a hard, fast rule that if you don't see Williams in a place in the episode, she's not there. And we're never going to force her there. Now, we got around that with Arena, because Arena, it's mountains, and so like we kind of just did the thing where, like, oh, she's on the other side of the mountain.
She's around the corner from Kirk.
Yeah, because that's the rule of the show, is that you're watching TOS, she's around the corner, but she's not on camera in TOS. So as long as she didn't cross paths with Kirk and Arena, it's totally cool. And so City on the Edge of Forever, you know, Kirk and Spock, they go down to the planet, and then, like, the Enterprise disappears, and then they go back into the past. And so you're like, okay, well, what do you do with Ensign Williams? Because she can't be on the planet. She can't go back and pass the past with them. But there's something in the beginning scene where they're going to the planet, and they mention that the Enterprise is being hit by all these time ripples. So what would it be like if Ensign Williams experienced all these ripples through time and all these alternate realities?
Yeah, because the ripples in time made the ship shake, so Bones, you know, shot himself up with a bunch of LSD at the beginning of the episode.
Yep.
We have two really nice nods to a TNG in that episode as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. I liked, what episode was it? I think it was the one before the Squire of Gotha, or was it the Squire? It was the Squire of Gotha's episode where you made a reference to Chris Pine.
I didn't get that joke until Hal said it on set.
And it's so funny because I always intended that as a Chris Pine joke. And I thought it was so funny that, like, yeah, Hal Rudnick, the guy who played Trelane, like, asked me, he's like, is this a reference to Chris Pine? I was like, yes.
And I was like, oh, shit.
That's awesome. I mean, like, I was picking that up because I actually made a Pine joke whenever we were, like, recording, like, before a show or after a show or something. And I was like, yes, this is definitely a Chris Pine joke. And this is great because he was referring to, you know, Kirk at that moment.
There is, in Alternative Factor, there's another nod to the JJ verse as well, if people are really looking for it.
We've got the JJ verse communicators.
What? Oh, yeah.
but we also have,
I think it's funny when Ashley has to remind me, like, we have so many episodes that Ashley has to remind me. I'm like, really?
Yeah. We throughout the course of the series too, we have references to every other Trek show as well.
And I will give you, we mentioned this on a couple other podcasts, but we haven't said, we have a cameo from a TNG character coming up.
Yes, we do.
Oh, awesome.
And when people see it, I think they'll be like, oh,
yeah,
of course.
I think it's really funny. But on camera, a cameo from somebody, well, not the actual actor, but an actor of ours playing that actor.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's my favorite thing we ever shot.
That sounds really fun.
Trying to be super vague about it.
Oh, yeah. You gotta keep your secrets so that there'll be a surprise in the episode, because they're definitely a lot of fun on the first view. Where I'm just like laughing aloud. They're great. Hey, Faith.
Hey. Oh, hello.
Hello, Faith.
Hi, guys.
All right, so we've been talking about just the show. They've actually been asking me some questions about what I think through season
that's
two.
That's the better half of the ones that are out. So,
mm-hmm. Nah, everything people put out is pretty good, whether they think it is or not.
Which half did you watch? The first half, or the last half?
First half. You know, so now I watch things in order.
You're about to get to the really good stuff.
You're about to get to the jump in budget. And you're holy cow!
Look, we have a corner of a room now.
Nice.
I love how the show went in chronological order, and then you had that jump back to the Gary Mitchell episode, since it was, you know, it rewinded and everything to get back to the, since it was the first episode that was aired after.
Well, that came from Ashley's original idea of what the show was originally going
to
be.
Yeah, because I'd never seen TOS in order, so I wanted it to be kind of a review show where I was going to watch them through in order. And so when we thought about when Jason came up with the idea to do it as a narrative. We talked a lot about, do we want to do it in original broadcast order or in more or less production order?
Or Netflix order.
Netflix order, yeah. So we went with the order it aired in, which happens to be the Netflix order, at least in the States.
Mm-hmm.
And so it had to be a time jump.
I thought it was great. It was really clever how they did that. And I really liked the editing in the naked time. Where,
everybody likes the naked time.
Well, you know, but I really like the editing in it, like where they come in and the music plays, and then like where the screen keeps dividing and dividing and dividing and dividing, like it looks like an old like music video. I really liked the editing on that one a lot.
That was just me trying to sell how crazy it was. And then I think I had a really cool filter that had like 20 frames, and I was like, oh, how cool would this be? Click. Hey, cool. Let's go with that. That's a lot of my editing tricks. I'm like, hey, will this work? Click. Okay, sure.
That music, too, although it's obviously added in post for the sake of the viewing audience, was played on set to inspire our dancers.
The same music.
Oh, it was definitely great. That was probably one of my favorite first season episodes, I think. I that filter with all the crazy 20 frames was amazing. I was like, very techno.
I think it's the highest viewed of season one, except maybe the pilot.
I think it is. Mm-hmm.
I liked it. I thought it was pretty creative, personally. So what's the biggest challenges for you guys for putting these things together? Like, for you, what was your personal things that you wanted to overcome?
Ashley, let's hear this. I want to hear your answer to this.
I wanted to overcome having to be word perfect for alternative factor, and I didn't. And that was a really hard day on set. I think most of what we wanted to overcome was criticism that we received about the first season was we wanted to address the things that we thought were apt and like really just do better because we had a budget now and we'd done it before and we had all these resources. Like, we got a lot of criticism for, like, lack of overarching narrative in our 3-minute videos. So we have that now.
Wow, really? People were picky enough to say, oh, there's no overarching narrative?
There was a lovely fellow on a forum that I won't name who rewrote all of our episodes in season one and told us how they should have been better and more interconnected.
Wow. Considering the original series wasn't even connected
anyway.
That's
always fun.
I know, man. Right?
Whatever, he watched it and we got the views, so it's all fine. I think the other biggest thing to overcome,
even negative criticism.
Yeah,
true.
Aside from like just trying to schedule everyone, which is a nightmare, was like trying to figure out a way to shoot all of them in 48 hours. Like we shot over the course of 4 days. But 12-hour days, like that was the hardest thing. I'm sure Jason's going to say something about post, but just like trying to do, you know, 18 episodes in 48 hours was really hard.
For me, it's time.
Oh no, I bet.
In terms of like just shooting it, to writing it, to producing it, because like I always get scared when we announce the date we're starting. And we've done that both seasons, like for season one and season two, because as soon as we announce it, I'm very, like, to me, it's more important to release every Monday. Like, it's very important to keep that schedule, just like a TV show, to be like, okay, if we're releasing on Monday, then it's going to happen every week, and we have 20 episodes, so for the next 20 weeks, this has got to happen. And I'm in this right now, which is why you're hearing this, too, is that there is this freight train that is going to run me over unless I stay ahead of it. And I have to stay ahead of it. And even the production and shooting, and for any web series in general, I think to me, that's the toughest thing is the train. Like, once you start, you got to stay ahead of that train or that train's going to run you over. And once that train runs you over, nobody cares about you.
Yeah, no one takes you seriously
and
anymore.
And nobody wants to watch the show because you're late or your show didn't shoot well or your actors will. But, like, you got to stay ahead of that train because that train's going to kill you.
You know, that's actually true about most things in life. But I, you know, with these sorts of things with production, it feels like the pressure is 10 times worse because you're in the public eye and you're not hidden where everybody can see you. So it's like one thing to mess up at work and let somebody down. But if you let your fans down, it's not a good idea.
Right. And
so
I
understand
do something that allows people to criticize you because you've actually messed up on something as opposed to someone's just being mean because it's the internet. Like if you're like, oh, you're right. Yeah. I don't release on time. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's just one more thing to take care of.
Oh, I totally feel that pain, Jason.
Podcast, man. Totally. Same thing.
I edit the show.
David's our version of you. he keeps us on target all the time, even when we don't want to be.
Like, this is actually the second time of recording this week, so I can, like, not record next week and just edit next week, because the Larry Nemechek episode took me well over 10 hours to edit due to the connection problems. Yeah, and it was only audio.
Really long recording.
I mean,
it's great when you can bank stuff like that too, so that you do have some wiggle room for the post production.
Oh, definitely. Because I mean, after that last one, I'm like, ooh, maybe I should get a couple recorded and, you know, spend more time recording and I mean, more time editing because that was the longest episode I think I've ever done as far as editing wise.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that's probably easily the longest episode we've ever recorded, at least since I've joined on.
No, I think Faith's Faith 5, where you gave your 5 episodes, was almost 2 hours.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. That was pretty long, too. I forgot about that.
And one of the Klingon episodes.
It's been a few months.
Well, we did a four part on Klingons, and like totally, that probably totaled 6 hours between 4 episodes. But yeah, I totally feel that the editing pressure is like, I definitely want to be weekly, and we've missed it a couple times, unfortunately, where it just couldn't be avoided. So I definitely know the struggle is real.
So when you guys get a lot of these negative feedbacks, what's the easiest way for you guys to deal with it? Because I know from my personal experience, because I do a lot of cosplay and fabrication, that there is a lot of negative backlash, whether, you know, you actually made a mistake or not, and everybody has different coping mechanisms. So do you have any advice for people that are doing things like this?
I don't read the comments.
Oh, that's a good one. I need to start doing that. Here,
people will tweet at me directly, and I mostly just go to Jason and I'm like, look at what this asshole said, and then
I hope I wasn't one of those people.
Wait, was that a Monday? I'm sorry.
But yeah, I don't have to look at the comments, so I don't. Jason deals with that more directly. He's braver than I am.
I always feel that comments are a good way to gauge your reaction. The best thing about the internet is that it's democratized now. That you can have an immediate voice to something. I mean, I can go to the producers of Arrow and be like, dude, his costume sucks this season. And they'll hear it because they'll see it, because eventually they're going to go through their Twitter feeds. And so I feel that even you could tell there's a difference between a valid comment and a malicious comment. And say, like, if we were to do season three. We're in season three. But if we were to do season three and the overwhelming comment was, I hate her new quarters, my first reaction would be like, well, we better change the quarters because, like, everybody doesn't like it. And I think that's valid.
Yeah.
But then there is always that comment where, like you said, like the guy that's trying to rewrite us, where it's just like, okay, dude, like, I know you want to be a writer. I can tell through this comment. Relax. Chill. Go make your own thing. Go make your own thing, and I will gladly watch it. But until then, like,
and rewrite
relax
it.
And just comment on what we gave you. Don't be like, oh, I can write a dissertation about your episode better than you can. And to me, you can tell the difference between those comments, and that's a good thing. Like, luckily, Redshirt Season 2, is been mainly positive. But I will say that we course corrected season two based off comments, because the biggest comment we had in season one was everybody hated it when Kirk walked on screen with a J.J. Abrams uniform. But the reason we did that
was because we had it already.
Because we had it already and we had no budget. So when we made the Indiegogo, our first reaction was, we're going to buy everybody TOS uniforms so that this comment goes quiet.
Yeah. And everyone loved Gertrude, so now we have more Gertrude.
Well, Gertrude's great. We didn't pay attention to that one.
Jason, are you Gertrude?
I am Gertrude.
That's awesome. Yes.
The voice and the puppet.
Nice. Jason is everybody?
I'm like 27 characters in the record.
Oh, wow. That's a nice number of hats.
And plus, you know, writing, producing, and the, you know, all the behind the other behind-the-scenes stuff.
Well, is there anything you don't do?
When I'm editing the episodes, it's just easier to be for me to be the voice of something than to go track down somebody and schedule it. Like, it's easier for me just to, and I do, like, lots of different voices anyway and VO work, so it's like, I might as well record this. Sure.
Yeah, if you got it, might as well. And they all sound great. I mean, you sounded awesome as the Gorn. We talked about that a little while ago.
Gertrude, I fooled you. You thought that was the original Gorn.
Yeah, I was like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to be honest. I was, when this was first mentioned to me, because I've only been told about it off and on, and I was kind of hesitant about initially watching these. Because, you know, there's a lot of fan fiction out there. There's a lot of people that have done a lot of different things, and some of it's really awful. And like, I try and give everything a fair shake. And David and Aaron have been talking it up for a little while. Well, a little while. Several months to me. So I was like, all right, I'm going to give this a shot. And I was at work, and the next thing I know, I watched all eight episodes in, like, one go. And I didn't even move the entire time that I'm working. And, like, typically I'll go around. I'm, like, working on fabricating. And next thing I know, I'm, like, standing there eight episodes in and I haven't moved. I'm like, wow, I need to save this for when I can sit down and really enjoy it. Because nice. It was surprising. You guys are really amazing with what you do.
Thank you.
That's so
really
nice.
That's really nice.
You guys really are. And Faith, while you were away, they let me know there is a season two narrative arc that won't come fully clear until second to last episode, I think you guys said.
Second to last episode.
Second to last episode.
When it all comes home.
But,
Oh, don't tease me.
Well, no. I've got to go.
It will make sense in Operation Annihilate.
I literally spent the last hour watching every single episode back to back. They've kind of blurred together in my head, but I really want to go back and watch season two and like try to pick up out where the narrative is.
Well, see, so that's something... cool thing. By the time we get to the end of season two, if you combine season one and season two, it's about 2.5 hours. Is it 2 hours?
I don't know exactly how long every episode. Yeah, but and change. Yeah, 2.5 hours.
Like 2 hours. 2 hours, maybe hour and a half in there, and so like it's a full.
We made a movie.
It's a full movie.
It's a mini movie.
Yeah,
but that's, I mean, we also. Awesome. We also knew when we started that we weren't going to be continues, so we tried really hard to think about what we could do within the confines of our initial $300 budget, which I think helped shape the show a lot. And you know, when you're parody, you get a lot more leeway. So that was also, I think, a saving grace. Mm-hmm. When we were initially like coming up with the idea. But
yeah, because our initial thing was that, like, I mean, I always feel this way that I love Star Trek Continues. Star Trek New Voyages has some great episodes. I do lean towards the Continues camp. I'm sorry, friends. Axanar really looks Continues. Really good. If we were to do something drama, this is the whole reason why we went parody and satire. If we were to do something drama, immediately, right out the bat, we're already competing with J.J. Abrams.
Yeah.
I think I do a good job. I'm no J.J. Abrams. So I already lose. And that's the whole reason why we went to parody, because, like, that's what I feel the drama has to hurt has against it, is because you're competing against a $300 million production from Paramount Pictures
or a Paramount television
yes.
show.
Yes. Whereas if we go to parody, we're competing against nobody. We're just competing against ourselves to be as good as we can be.
Which so you can build your first set out of cardboard,
yep.
And it's cool.
Yeah, which is a great, you know, a great thing to have. You know, set the bar for yourself and see if you meet it, and then the next season try and beat it.
That's what we try to do. Like every season, let's do something different, do something better. If we just repeat the same jokes, then what's the point?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that would get old really quick and people would lose their interest. But you guys managed to keep it fresh and engaging, which is a nice... I'll be honest, I'm the one that gets really critical about trying new things. So if I fall in love with something, it's usually a pretty big deal for me. Because I've watched a lot of things and then things end suddenly or you get let down by a show or whatever. So I hesitate, but like that, you guys did a like. I honestly, I didn't even pay attention to the set in the first 8 episodes. I was just engaged with what was going on. I was like, "Oh, this is cool."
That set doesn't exist anymore.
New set for season 2.
You guys should have kept it as a reminder.
We took it camping, so it doesn't exist anymore. Did it have a season 2 set though?
Did it not survive the camping trip?
Nice.
Did it not survive the camping trip?
No.
No. Well, then we moved.
It was sacrificed to a fire, wasn't it?
No, it was to keep us off the cold ground.
Oh, that was a very good like, we have this, for your flat. Props. Yeah. Yeah. This will function for this purpose. Hey, look, it's multi-purpose.
Exactly. Recycle.
Nice.
I know there's a lot of Star Trek podcasts out there, and when we don't have guests on, we try to focus on more of a comedy aspect because there are so many different Star Trek things. So I definitely understand when they go like the parody route with things because it's also a whole lot of fun too. Like you can just goof around. I mean that's why we're called Synthaholics. It's like, you know, so people don't take us too seriously.
Yeah, and the serious stuff, after a while, I mean, it gets to be a bit depressing. Even if it's not sad stuff all the time, it's just the level of seriousness. I mean, everybody has a job, they have life, they have all of these other things. These things are meant to be entertainment, and you know, you need to be able to step away and suspend reality for a little while.
Yeah, you want to be like, you want to be like a cookie, right? Like just the perfect little tiny treat.
Yeah, you need to be that nice, delicate little snack that you get to indulge in and you get to enjoy and look forward to at the end of a stressful day. And you guys succeeded at that.
Very much so. I would definitely say that.
Yay, we're good at stuff.
Woo!
Is there anything else yeah! you would like to know about season 1 or season 2 or anything like that? Like I'm always curious about like what people, when they see our stuff and what they think and what they want to know about.
I'd like to know, because like, you know, I do fabrication on my own and that. I'd like to know if you guys have any little funny stories behind the scenes of things that happened, like in trying to get the set together or things like that while you guys were trying to do this. Are there any moments that stand out?
Explode. That was funny.
What episode was that?
I don't remember, but I remember it was the day that Kirk was PAing, and I don't like to wear...
It was Devil in the Dark.
Sure. It was Monday's episode.
It was Devil in the Dark. Yeah.
I don't like to wear shoes, so I wasn't wearing shoes. And then
wearing shoes for most of the Retro Diaries.
Yeah.
That's okay. Then, I didn't have to wear shoes.
The light bulb exploded, and Jason was like, "Everybody wear shoes from now on."
Oh, wow.
We were really fortunate this season. After season 1, we were contacted by a guy named Adam Drozen, and he was like, "Hey, I build props. I'd love to build props for you." And we were like, "Great, please build props for us." Right. And can we talk about the main thing that he built?
Yes.
He built us a giant flying pancake.
The amoeba.
Nice.
Highlight.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
I feel like that's like the coolest prop we have. John Roberts, who appears in Tomorrow Is Yesterday as Captain Christopher, built us a pad. That was really cool.
Like the pad that Kirk writes on with the he like 3D printed it, which was awesome.
Oh, that is
sweet.
Wow.
In Court Martial for the first time?
It's been in a couple other you see it in Menagerie Part 1. It's the it's the pad that Rand hands you with the message from your father.
Oh yeah, and you can open it up and like change the message on it.
And it actually blinks.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Nice. That's like
that
our coolest.
A lot of work.
Our coolest toy. I mean, Gertrude's fun. I built Gertrude with my bare hands.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
For season 1.
I love Gertrude.
And She's a lot of hot glue.
And a pink glove that took us forever to find.
Yeah, pink dish glove and some shredded up tutus.
And your
that's
excuse?
Mostly what Gertrude is. From Target.
And then your excuse to see Dr. McCoy. Bite my finger.
Yep.
She's not soft either, so there is real pain there.
My favorite prop actually is one that I don't think many people have noticed in the background, is Catfish and Plasma.
Oh, yeah.
By Charles Tucker III. It's a book that's on her shelf in the background.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, nice.
Jason made the real cover for it.
Yeah, I photoshopped this cover where it's a picture of Trip standing in front of like a warp field, and it's like it has this logo and stuff like that. And the next time we go to a Star Trek convention,
yeah, I want to get Connor Trinneer to sign it.
We're gonna get Connor Trinneer to sign it.
That would be awesome.
Oh, wow. Yeah, when you guys do that, you need to like post it on Twitter or on Facebook and be like, hey, look what we got.
Yep.
He's so great. I tweeted at him when I was I watched Enterprise last year, the year before last.
Yeah, the same year as season one. For us. Season one of
Retro. So last year for the first time, and Trip made me cry a lot, so I tweeted like F you at Connor Trinneer. And he would always retweet it, and I was like, oh, that's so great.
And then we met him at Star Trek Las Vegas, and he recognized you from Retro Diaries.
Yep. It was horrifying.
Why was it horrifying?
Well, it's that thing where it's like, you know, when somebody who you really admire and look up to is like, oh yeah, I know this thing that you do. You're like, I don't know why you would ever know that. Don't
please,
do that.
I hope you like it. I look up to you.
Yeah. You're the bar.
That's well, really you know, cool. And if he's noticed you, then you've definitely, you know, gained some notice. You've hit that bar for him. So that's pretty impressive.
Right now I have to figure out what I can hire him for.
Anything. Just make an excuse.
To play Trip right. Tucker the Fourth.
We just need a voice for this. Can you please?
Yeah, well, we live in Los Angeles. It'll be fine.
Yeah, oh, there you go.
For sure. I know you guys have a hard cutoff coming up soon, but I know with this week we had that huge announcement. There's a new Star Trek series coming out, and that's what the episode that came out before this one was about. So,
yes.
What are you guys, since, I mean, I don't know, I guess this is maybe hopefully the first podcast you've done since that announcement. What do you guys think about that?
I think that as soon as we know who the casting director is, I would really like to play a Vulcan science officer. That's what I think.
I'll hit like on that on Facebook and Twitter. Yeah, I'm all for that. I think it'd be awesome.
I keep saying that, and maybe someday it'll happen. I guess I was surprised by the amount. I saw a lot of negativity about it, which I found really surprising that people weren't more excited. And I was kind of sad.
I'm very excited about it, but I've already been, you know, because I'm in some certain Star Trek groups on Facebook and on Twitter and stuff like that. And I've already had all these people like try to get me to sign a petition to make sure that this is set in the Prime universe. Here's my problem with that. I want my Star Trek TV show to be something different. I want my Star Trek show to be about story and characters, and that's what TOS is about. It's about Kirk, Spock, and McCoy and their friendship. And to me, I could give a flying pancake whether it's in the Prime universe or not. Like, it doesn't matter to me. I like Star Trek. I don't care about the warp nacelles of it, you know, like
or how much lens flares
like,
there.
Yeah, I don't care. I like the Abrams universe. Yes, Into Darkness is not as good as Star Trek, but Star Trek 2009 was the kick in the butt that the franchise needed. And I just want it to be a new ship. I actually kind of hope it's not an Enterprise.
Oh, they kind of said it was going to be an Enterprise.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Okay. I want it to be a new ship, a new crew, doing something new we haven't seen. That's all I want.
I want it to not be centered around Earth.
There you go. That too.
That would be nice.
One of the things we talked about earlier when we were discussing between Aaron and I and David and I about the new show was that maybe doing a female captain instead, because there's only really been Janeway, which was kind of she's good, but we need a better version. What do you guys feel about that?
I think they should go even crazier.
An alien
and make
female.
It a female alien captain.
No, I think they should make That's it an alien captain of no gender, like a hermaphroditic race.
There you go.
So that anyone can see themselves as the captain of the starship.
Yeah, go crazy.
So Riker's girlfriend awesome. From that one episode.
Yeah, sure.
Or it friend, yep. Since it had no gender. But
And have her be played by B.B. Newworth.
Oh, my God. Don't call her Lilith.
That would indeed be awesome. I'm excited, and I definitely agree with you on the, you know, I don't care what universe it's in, if it's Prime or JJ. The only thing that worries me is if they made a third one. I feel like there's enough division between the fans with two universes. I feel like a third one would, like, it would drive me crazy with all the people ranting against a third universe. And
I could see. I could totally see that. You know what? To me, honestly, I see no way this is not set in the movie universe somehow.
But why not do the movie universe version of TNG? Like, how cool
yes.
would that be?
Yeah, that's what another theory that a lot of people have said is, like, well, what if this is, like, 100 years ahead? What if this is the next generation? Yeah,
Idris
generation.
Elba as Geordi LaForge. I'm calling it right now.
Wow.
I'd like to see Tom...
Don't put him as Geordi LaForge.
Geordi LaForge is the person who runs the ship. He's the most important person there.
Yeah, but I want to see Idris Elba's pretty eyes.
I bet that's who he's playing in Beyond. He's playing Geordi LaForge.
Oh, yeah. I keep forgetting he's the villain of Beyond. All right.
Well, Geordi LaForge would be the villain in Star Trek Beyond because he was so mean to Scotty in Relics.
Maybe he's Gary Mitchell.
Maybe he comes onto the ship because he's mad that in the future there are no books. So Idris Elba is playing LeVar Burton as Reading Rainbow.
Done. Oh, I would watch Reading the hell out of that.
Have you seen the Reading Rambo meme where it's like Geordi LaForge but with a big gun and it says Reading Rambo?
Yes.
That's Idris Elba. I would think Tom Hiddleston as Data. I think he looks kind of like a young Brent Spiner a little bit.
I've heard that a lot.
That'd be super cool. Yeah.
And cast Bryan Cranston as Picard.
And cast Jason Isham as Riker.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know you guys have got to run soon. Thank you guys so much, Jason and Ashley, for coming on and talking with us. Want to mention you guys' Twitters real quick, or what's the best way for listeners to get a hold of you to say hi on the social networks?
You can find us and contact us through www.theredshirtdiaries.com. The is very important. You can find me on Twitter at Ashley V. Robinson.
You can find me at Twitter at Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N. And Ashley and I also do a weekly podcast called Geek History Lesson,
which is
on iTunes and geekhistorylesson.com.
Awesome. I'll go ahead and put all those on the show notes so that everyone will have links to those as well.
Huzzah!
I haven't listened to that podcast, but I definitely should check it out, dog. I love finding new podcasts.
Well, we did a best Star Trek crew ever to celebrate the launch of the Red Shirts a couple months back. So it's a very fun episode where we picked, like, who would be our dream. We took
From any universe, any continuity.
Like, we were like, okay, pick the captain, pick the first officer, pick the medical officer. And then we built, like, what we thought would be the ultimate Star Trek crews for each one of us.
That's awesome. That's a really cool idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that really is.
Maybe we'll
you
steal
should play it.
It
sometime.
Maybe we'll steal it and borrow it.
Go ahead.
Go for it. As long as you invite us back for that episode.
We would love to have you guys back again, especially with Aaron. I'm really sorry that he couldn't be here. It was just kind of a last-minute thing. I didn't want to postpone with you guys again.
I'm sorry that I misunderstood your initial message about the time as well. So that's mostly on me.
I apologize for coming in a little bit late. I had to deal with my littlest. She was excited to see mommy.
Aww.
Yeah, I couldn't really deny this. But I do apologize for being late.
No worries.
We'll probably hit you up in January, like towards the end of our season.
Yeah, to celebrate like the finale.
Yeah, well, we'd love to have you guys back on, and we can celebrate the finale and then maybe do that topic and have five people all put together that topic. That sounds like it'd be a whole lot of fun.
Sure.
Cool.
That'll be a whole lot of fun when we get to do that again.
Well, I hope it was fun for you guys.
It was
getting to come on, and I'm excited that you guys want to come back. I'd love to have you guys back on again. It'd be a lot of fun.
Totally, man.
Yay!
Huzzah! Let us know when this comes out, and we'll share it.
Sounds good, guys. You said you gotta head out soon.
Yes, indeed.
All right. Well, y'all have a great evening. Thank you all so much for coming on the show.
Thank you both.
Yep, thank you.
Be safe. Make good choices.
Oh, no. Oh, no. It's going to happen. No.
Have a good evening.
All right. You guys, too. Thanks. Thank you all for listening. All my music is provided by Warp 11. You can find them at warp11.com or follow them on Twitter at warp11. You can find us at synthaholics.com. You can email us at synthaholics@yahoo.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at synthaholicduo. If you'd like to follow us individually, you can follow me at David_J_Duncan.
You can follow me, Aaron O'Brien, at Blackbird2004. Faith, where can they find you?
You can find me at Faith Hertzberg.
And please subscribe to us. We are on iTunes. We are on Stitcher. And if you have a chance, please rate and review so we can improve. And any feedback is welcome. And so we can make the show even better for you.
Live long and prosper, guys. At the stars we did gaze. The next morning he left stinking of gin. Well, McCoy, my boy, come mix me a drink. Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink. And we'll cry till we laugh. And we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.